Hello, and welcome back to the Rising Parent Podcast, where we help families thrive. I'm Tim.
And I'm Edna. So glad you're joining us today.
We're diving headfirst into a topic that's near and dear to our hearts, and probably a little stressful for a lot of you, self-care. Specifically, self-care for parents.
Oh, yes. As someone who survived, and I mean survived, those blurry first few months with a newborn, I know firsthand how quickly self-care can fall to the bottom of the to-do list right after, you know, remembering to brush your teeth.
And as someone who spends a lot of time helping parents navigate tricky behavior and communication patterns, I can tell you that neglecting your own well-being is a recipe for meltdowns, and not just the kids.
Exactly. We've seen it all over the past 20 years of helping families just like yours, and we know that taking care of yourself isn't selfish. It's absolutely essential.
So in this episode, Self-Care for Parents, Prioritizing Your Well-Being, we're going to break down what self-care really means, why it matters, and most importantly, how you can actually make it happen even amidst the chaos of parenthood.
Get ready to reclaim a little bit of you. We're here to give you practical, actionable tips you can put into practice today.
All right, Edna, let's jump right in. I think a good starting point is to address the elephant in the room, the guilt. A lot of parents, especially in the early years, feel incredibly guilty even thinking about self-care, like it's somehow taking away from their kids.
Oh, the guilt is a real monster. I see it all the time. Parents feel like they should be spending every waking moment focused on their children. Anything less feels inadequate. I mean, I felt it, but let's be honest, trying to pour from an empty cup never works. You end up depleted, resentful, and less effective as a parent.
Precisely. Think of it like this. On an airplane, they always tell you to put your own oxygen mask on before helping your child. Self-care is your oxygen mask. You can't effectively care for your kids if you're running on fumes.
That's a fantastic analogy, Tim. It's about sustainability. We're not talking about escaping your responsibilities. We're talking about ensuring you have the energy and mental clarity to actually enjoy your kids and be present for them.
So, what is self-care, really? It's not just bubble baths and spa days, although those are definitely welcome. It's about intentionally nurturing your physical, emotional, and mental well-being.
Exactly. It's personalized, too. What fills my cup might completely drain yours, and vice versa. For me, honestly, sometimes self-care is just 10 minutes of peace and quiet with a cup of tea or a really good book.
And for me, it's listening to music. It really keeps my mind off stressful issues. You also listen to a lot of music with me, Edna.
Yeah, we listen to about 4 hours of music a day. But yeah, it varies for everyone. Some people find solace in creative pursuits like painting or writing. Others thrive on social connection, spending time with friends or family. It's about figuring out what recharges your batteries.
Let's drill down a bit into those different areas, physical, emotional, and mental. Starting with physical self-care, that's the most basic level. Are you getting enough sleep, eating nutritious food, moving your body?
Sleep. The holy grail of parenthood. But seriously, even small improvements in sleep hygiene can make a huge difference. Maybe it's going to bed 30 minutes earlier or cutting out caffeine after noon.
Absolutely. And food is fuel. When you're sleep-deprived and stressed, it's easy to reach for processed foods and sugary snacks, but those only lead to energy crashes and mood swings.
True. I try to snack on more fruits and vegetables, things like cut-up veggies, fruit, or yogurt. It prevents me from reaching for that bag of chips.
And movement, even just a little bit, can be transformative. You don't need to run a marathon. A 20-minute walk can boost your mood and energy levels.
I enjoy taking leisurely walks around our neighborhood. It's a great way to de-stress. Plus, some walks are only 15 minutes long, perfect for fitting in my busy schedule.
Now, let's move on to emotional self-care. This is about recognizing and processing your feelings in a healthy way.
This can be tricky for parents because we're often so focused on our kids' emotions that we neglect our own.
Exactly. It's important to acknowledge your feelings, even the negative ones. It's okay to feel frustrated, overwhelmed, or even resentful sometimes. You're human.
One thing I find helpful is reading. It can be incredibly calming.
Talking to a trusted friend, family member, or therapist can also be a great way to process your emotions.
Yes, don't be afraid to seek professional help. It's a sign of strength, not weakness. Talking to someone who is a professional can make all the difference.
Absolutely. And finally, we have mental self-care. This is about stimulating your mind and preventing burnout.
I think mental self-care is about disconnecting from the constant demands of parenthood and engaging in activities that bring you joy and relaxation.
It could be reading a book, listening to music, watching a movie, or pursuing a hobby, something that allows you to switch off and recharge.
I love crossword puzzles. They help me feel like I'm expanding my horizons and keeping my mind sharp.
Another aspect of mental self-care is setting boundaries, learning to say no to things that drain your energy or overwhelm you.
Oh, this is a big one. It's so easy to get caught up in commitments and obligations, but constantly saying yes to everything will eventually lead to burnout.
So we've talked about what self-care is and why it's important. Now let's get practical. How do you actually fit self-care into your busy schedule?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The key is to start small and be realistic. Don't try to overhaul your entire life overnight.
Micro moments of self-care can be incredibly effective. Even just 5 to 10 minutes a day can make a difference.
Think about incorporating self-care into your existing routines. For example, if you're already making coffee in the morning, take an extra 5 minutes to savor it and enjoy the quiet before the kids wake up.
Or if you're waiting in the carpool line, listen to a podcast or audiobook, preferably our podcast and audiobooks, instead of scrolling through social media.
Batching can also be a lifesaver. Dedicate a specific day or time each week to self-care activities. Maybe it's a Saturday morning walk or an evening bath.
And don't be afraid to ask for help. Enlist your partner, family members, or friends to help with childcare so you can have some time yourself.
Delegating tasks can also free up your time and energy. Maybe you can hire someone to clean the house or do the yard work.
One of the biggest obstacles to self-care is perfectionism. Parents often feel like they need to be doing everything perfectly all the time.
Oh, yes. The myth of the perfect parent is so damaging. It sets unrealistic expectations and leads to constant self-criticism.
Remember that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to not be perfect. You're doing the best you can.
And comparing yourself to other parents on social media is a recipe for a disaster. Everyone only shows their highlight reel.
That's so true. Focus on your own journey and what works best for your family.
Another important point is to be flexible. What works one week might not work the next. Life with kids is unpredictable.
So don't get discouraged if you have to adjust your self-care plan. The key is to be adaptable and find ways to incorporate self-care into your life even when things are chaotic.
Absolutely. Self-care is not a luxury, it's a necessity. It's an investment in your well-being and your family's well-being.
And remember, it's not selfish to take care of yourself. In fact, it's one of the most selfless things you can do. Because when you're feeling good, you're better equipped to be the parent your kids need you to be.
Beautifully said, Tim. So let's talk about some common self-care myths, things people often think of as self-care that aren't necessarily that helpful.
Sure thing, Edna. Myth number one, self-care is always expensive.
Oh, yes. People think you need to be spending tons of money to take care of yourself, which just isn't true. As we've mentioned, it could be a free walk in the park, a cup of tea in silence, or a free online course.
Myth number two, self-care is only for when you're stressed.
Self-care isn't a reaction. It's something you do consistently to make sure you don't reach the point of overwhelm.
Myth number three, self-care should be easy.
Sometimes doing the things that are good for us are hard. Going to therapy, sticking to a new exercise routine, or addressing relationship challenges are all types of self-care that require effort.
Great points, Edna. Thanks for highlighting those.
Of course.
Okay, Edna, let's wrap up with some key takeaways. What are the most important things parents should remember about self-care?
First and foremost, self-care is not selfish. It's essential for your well-being and your family's well-being.
Second, self-care is personalized. What works for one person might not work for another. Experiment and find what recharges your batteries.
Third, start small and be realistic. Incorporate micro moments of self-care into your existing routines.
Fourth, don't be afraid to ask for help. Enlist your partner, family members, or friends to help with childcare or other tasks.
And finally, be flexible. Life with kids is unpredictable. Adjust your self-care plan as needed, and don't get discouraged if you have to make changes.
Remember, self-care is a journey, not a destination. Be patient with yourself and celebrate your progress along the way.
That's all the time we have for today's episode, parents. We hope you found this conversation helpful and inspiring.
And we hope you put some of these strategies into practice this week, because you deserve to feel good.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the Rising Parent Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to visit our website at risingparent.org for additional resources.
Thanks for listening. And remember, you're doing a great job.
Until next time, keep rising.